trees, and the wind blows through them. Fresh air. Praise the Lord. All right. I know y'all didn't come out here just to hear me go on and on and on, but I already have, so it's too late. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to talk about a very important subject. Last week we talked about our hearts and our treasures. And brother, you and I both know that when you get your heart into something, it makes a difference in the way you conduct yourself. It does. The interest, enthusiasm, you can see it on people when they get their heart in it. Amen. And the Bible said, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there your heart is. And you know, nobody can make you. Isaac was talking about that this morning. He was talking about church and things and people doing right and living right. And I said, Isaac, you know, you can't. People do what they want to do. I don't care if you hold a gun on them, knife to their throat. In their heart. It'd be like the little boy, Brother Jeff, you may have heard me tell it. The little boy, his daddy made him sit down. And he didn't want to sit down. And he just forced him to sit down. And he said, I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. And that's the way we are. But when we make good Christians, it's when we just give God our heart and let Him make it what He wants it to be. How many knows He can do a better job with you than you can? How you doing, Doug? I hadn't seen you in a while. How many knows God can do better with you than you can? Just let Him. That's why you got that's why the Bible says, "Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." How do you do that? By presenting your bodies. Amen. Kenzie's trying to read through the Bibles. Well, she's having a struggle with it. I mean, in big old words. And I'll be there half asleep, Sister Lois. And I reckon she thinks I know every word in the Bible. I say, spell it. And she'll spell a big old word out, and I can't get it. I'll have to look at it, get up and get my glasses. And, oh, that word. And she was reading last night that verse I was quoting you. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. Present them to God, holy and acceptable unto God. We give it to God. Amen. And so we've got to make sure that we... How many knows when David said, my heart is fixed? You know what he meant by that? David took his heart and he fixed that on God. The Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. I don't know how many we got in here. 70 people, Brother Zane. He's counting them now. Multiply it by two and put it on the board. That's the way they do it. No, we can't do that. Huh? We got these. Oh, if the Lord, if we just could give our lives totally to the Lord. How many knows God wants it all? Huh? He doesn't want our and I'm gonna read you something else. We're going to go talk about anxiety and the pressures of life. The verse in the lesson today, the Lord will help us, is verse 25. But I've got to get that last phrase of verse 24. And this is what the Bible said. You cannot serve God and mammon. How many knows that a lot of us have tried it? Huh? Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. We talked last Sunday about mammon being money, wealth, riches. You can't be a servant to money. It's a pitiful servitude to be bound by money, to be bound by this world, to let the world manipulate where you go, how you feel, amen, and what you say and what you wear. And all of that, to be controlled by the world, amen, is a pitiful life. Amen. And if you're controlled by the world, help me now, church. You know I'm telling you right. That's why people call us judgmental when we preach holiness. Because really, when you preach the Bible, you are going to tell people how to live. That's what it's all about. The Bible is God's direction. It'd be like taking a map and people getting offended if you tell them which road to get on. They say, well, I like to go to California, but I don't want to go that way. Well, then, you know, you're not going to go. Praise God. You know, a lot of times we've got to understand when you go, now listen, if our church, this is our little church, if we come in here and everything the world does, we do, then you say, well, don't judge me. I love God just as much as you do. No, listen. Listen close. If you look like the world, act like the world, are controlled by the world's whims and fancies and fashions, then you're serving the world. And Jesus said, you can't serve both. Amen. So it tells me that we've got the wrong master. Praise God. And so we need to serve God. The Bible said, seek ye first, and it's in our lesson today. Seek ye first. Now, there's a second, third, fourth, and fifth in there. But that first means a whole lot, brothers and sisters. And that's what I told you last Sunday about getting in trouble with that man in that church when I was preaching on Unload Your Life. And I was talking about putting God first above everything, above your family, your job, everything else. Put God first. Now, that doesn't hurt your family to put God first. Huh? It'll help your family. It doesn't even hurt your job to put God first. Amen. I believe this with all of my heart. If the corporations of America would go back to honoring the Lord's day and God, they would prosper better. You say, well, they're making millions. Now, all prosperity is not money. But I say they would prosper and get along better if they do what God said. Amen. Now, what I want to go into today, if the Lord would help me, and I want you to help me, I want you to listen to this with me. Look at verse 25. Read along as I read it to you. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And you know, brother, I forgot to bring the Holiness Messengers this morning, but this morning early I was looking through it, and Brother Bill Parks had wrote an article on there about this, something along this line, about guarding, how that God didn't want you to be so guarding of your life. And I know that seems, you know, it's a natural instinct. If somebody throws something at you, your natural instinct is protect yourself. That's the way, and that's just natural. But in a spiritual sense, amen, the Bible says here, take no thought for your life. And it goes on. Now listen to this right here. And this is a great scripture for the hour we live in. The minds and stuff, I guess, really everything's going good now. I guess here the unemployment rate, I can remember, Brother Jerry, in this county, unemployment rate was over 20%. Y'all remember that? I remember that. And I think now it's, what, 5 in Buchanan County or less? Less than that. Now that's but, how many knows? Amen. We don't know what's on tomorrow. We can't put our confidence in the fact that we've got a good job. Huh? I mean, and really, here's what the Bible said about it. Take no thought for your life. Take no thought. Now y'all need to help me with this. Do you think this is a little text that really means not to give a thought to what you're talking about? Does he really think? You know, we're in a worrisome generation. And I know, we get out of work, or the finance get low, or I know, I've been there too, I know. But you know, Jesus said, now I'm just going to preach this like it is, and we'll pray for each other here in a minute. But he says, take no thought. I want to ask us, what has our thoughts been on this week? When I got my electric bill this week, y'all get bills in the mail? I got my electric bill, and all winter, Brother Mac, it ain't been a fun deal. I mean, it was hard to believe. My electric bill 1 month this winter was over $500. And you know, here's what tore me up about it. I spent hundreds of dollars this year insulating my house more. And I just sat back and waited for my bill to come down. And not only did I lose my $1,500 or whatever I paid in extra insulation, my electric bill went up. Somebody scream for me. Ah! Huh? Yeah, you know how it is. I pulled that old black stallion into that Val Walla Walla gas station there is. What are those? Where'd them come from? Valero. $96. $96. Brother, I can remember a time in my life that was my week's wage. That's what I worked out 1 week. Huh? Are y'all out there? Hey, you say, well, look, what's the Lord want us to do about this stuff? Does He want us to fret? Wring our hands? Come on now. Now, I know sometimes we get ourselves in a position, you know, where it brings extra on us, but here's what the Bible said. Now, if you believe this, I want you to say amen. Take no thought for your life. What ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Y'all, I'll tell you, y'all don't believe that, do you? You see what I'm reading out of? How many sees that? That's a King. What does the world think more about than anything else? Now, I'm not just talking about sinners, the world in general. What do they think about? What are they going to eat? Now, and I know this is not talking about, you know, how you go out to eat or something and say, well, where are we going to eat? It ain't talking about fretting over where you're going to eat. It's talking about being without food. Don't worry about it. Oh, I love this, brother. We're going to need this before it's over. I said, we live long enough, we're going to need this message here. It said, don't fret and worry and be anxious. I mean, all right, let me just take an interview. Some of y'all have lived a pretty good spell. Did God ever let you do without something to eat? Huh? I'll just take a little interview here. Now, it may not have been ribeye. It might have been that good old bologna. But, I mean, we'll just take a little inventory. Of course, you say, well, I know there's a whole wide world of people out there. Oh, I know it is. But the Lord was talking here, amen, and He said, look, you don't need to spend your time fretting over what you're going to eat and drink and be clothed. Now, if you can eliminate that anxiety, look what He said. And I love this. Is not the life. Are you listening? And he asked a question. Is not the life more than meat? And the body more than raiment? Woo! I tell you what, there's some people, that's all their life is raiment. And body and raiment and food. Some of these Hollywood queens, just a fancy silky dress is all they got. Inside there's nothing. There's no life. One husband after another, husband after another, and then shack up and trash, and all they are is a glorified concubine. Empty inside, life consists not of clothing and food and drink. Somebody say amen. Ha! Oh. The life. I like the way it said that. Is not the life more than in the body more than raiment. Now, I love this right here. It says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Oh, come on now. Praise God. How many believe with me this morning? I wish I could preach to you. How many believe with this preacher today, amen, that God thanks a lot of you? Hallelujah. He said, some of you are worried this morning, and I've been down there, but I will announce this. Amen. My electric bill wasn't but $108. That's a pretty good drop, isn't it? Whew, I felt good about that. But I'll tell you what, God has always come through. Can you say amen? And I'll tell you, he said, look at the birds that fly. Amen. How do they survive? They don't sow no seed, plow no garden, hoe no corn, grow no crop, wait on it to be. No, but God has got a plan in his divine providence to keep those birds alive. Can you say amen? I love leaving those windows open, and at daylight in the morning, there's always that chorus in them trees. Those birds are alive as they're waking up. Amen. And to some old earthworm's demise, they're getting ready to have breakfast. Amen. But I'll tell you, here's what God was saying. God is wise enough to know how to take care of the fowl of the air. And he knows how to take care of those, amen, that are his children. Amen. I don't know what your need is here this morning. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Amen. I thought about it, and I want y'all to, I'm still haven't got it off my mind. I'd like to have some kind of a avenue to people's lives that aren't able to come to church. Amen. That think that, amen, that God has forgot them. Amen. I'd like to tell them, if I was on the radio this morning, amen, I'd like to tell them on radio land, look outside your window, praise God. Amen. See that little sparrow, that robin in the yard, that blue jay out there on the fence post. Amen. God feeds those birds. Amen. Consider them and realize that if you'll call on God, amen, and be a servant of the Lord, amen, he will take care of you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How important is this? I said, how important is this? Now, I know as we look through this, and there's a great lesson here. And I know Jesus said, you have the poor with you always. That's what he said. So since he said that, I'm about to the fact that even though we have politicians that want to make us a socialistic society where they just go in and plunder everybody's goods and just distribute it equally among the poor. Now, how many knows that that's not the principle that God set in the Bible? The Bible says you don't work. Paul said, if you're able to work and you don't work, then you don't eat. I didn't hear nobody say amen. But that's what Paul said. But there are people who are handicapped that intellectually that aren't able to work a job with any kind of intricate intellectual way. So therefore, their wage is low. And so when their wage is low and gas is high and food is high, how many has noticed food? And you know, I don't know all about it, but they tell me that they're putting the corn in her gas tank. Have y'all heard that? So we're paying for the, what do you call that, ethanol? Is that what you call it? What? Biofuel? Have y'all seen that? So they take the corn, and you know, they clean them fields out and make that out of them, and the government pays them big bucks to do it, and then they charge us big bucks, and then there's no corn. So what corn they have, they raise the price on corn. Have you noticed the price of corn lately? If you got a horse or a cow, you probably noticed. Huh? Cornmeal. And so But here's what I want to tell you. God has methods even of feeding the poor. What is that? He that seeth his brother in need shutteth up his bowels of compassion. You know, if the whole world was saved, everything would be all right. That mean there'd be no poor people? No, that's not what that means. Because I don't care what the situation. If you want to call it poor, there's always going to be different classes of people. Because that's the way, amen, God said it was going to be. And if you work hard and labor hard and things go your way and God smiles and the sun shines, you're going to have more of a profit and you're going to have more and you're going to be able to hire some other people and put them to work and they're going to have probably not as much as you, but they're going to have a portion. But the point of the matter is, it's not in your... God has designed a way to you to feed you just like He fed the little bird. Hallelujah. Come on now, church, can you say amen? Y'all believe it? I believe it. But the Bible tells us, now look at this. The Bible tells us not to worry, not to give no thought to this. Behold the fowls of the air. And He says, you're worth much more. Now verse 27, it says, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Now here, this is a great point. Now how many of you, just Brother Jeff, just power of positive thinking. Just go ahead and think yourself 6'6", and let's see how good you do. Not yet. Try a little harder. It ain't going to happen. You think. You're not going to, you got a long way to go, don't you? Okay. You're not going to make it. So what he's saying was, hey, have you ever said this? Why worry about something you can't change anyway? Does that make sense? How many knows that's the principle in that scripture right there? You can't add one bit of stature to you by thinking about it. How many knows your thoughts are a very important thing in our life? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, honest, good report, holy. Right? So, I believe the Bible tells us to bring every thought. And I know, amen, you might be prosperous and sickness or the economy or something happen and you'll not be as prosperous as you was, and you may have to get rid of a few cars and you may have to get a smaller car and you may have to hitchhike. But listen, God will be faithful to take care of you in the necessities of life. Can you say amen? Does everybody believe this morning? Alright, listen to this right here. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You understand what they're saying? They don't make clothes. Lilies don't make clothes. They don't spin. They don't weave. They don't sew. But how many have seen a lily? Isn't that a lily up there, sister? Is that what that flower is there? Is that a peace lily? It's not showing, but there's a blossom somewhere. Come on in. Have you ever seen a lily in the field? Huh? Is that sharp or what? Have you ever seen how about a rose or a tulip or a flower? And how beautiful it is. And here's God's principle. And I don't know if we're getting this or not. And I'll tell you why we're not getting it. Because we're living in a dog-eat-dog society, where everybody is running wide open, trying to gain and get ahead and get this and get that and make sure they got it and make sure this one's got and that's got. They work and worry and fret and, oh, if I lose my job, what's going to happen? If I don't get that raise, what's going to happen? If I don't get to the mall, what's going to happen? He said, don't worry about that. Look at the flowers. Look how beautiful they are. Just trust God. You ever hear that? Trust God. Amen. Count on God. Leave it to God. Depend on God. Anybody ever tried it? Did it ever fail you? Huh? Never fail. Praise God. You say, well, brother, I know all I can do, tell you tonight is I know what the Bible said, and I know how it's been in my life, and I've just about got a lot of it behind me now. And I'll tell you, I'm not a bit ashamed to tell my children, and I believe in work ethic, and it'd be a shame to raise a bunch of kids that wouldn't work. It really would. It'd be a shame, amen, for people to call themselves Christian and be sorry and lazy. I don't believe there is a lazy Christian. Amen. But I know some are stronger than others and quicker and sharper together. But you ought to be there and be willing and available. Come on now. Amen. But in all of that, I like to be able to teach my children. Amen. You can count on God to meet your every need, to feed you and clothe you and keep you alive in this world. Hallelujah. I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's first. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all believe this? I believe we ought to have a hard-working, energetic church. I really do. But I believe we ought to put God first and foremost and let this whole wide world know we're not dependent on our strength or our ability to work, but we're dependent on God. Amen. God could snap His finger and put us in intensive care or out of this world. Amen. But we need to look around us. Look at the birds and the flowers and know that God is able. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like preaching. Ain't that a good lesson? Huh? Aren't you glad this is in the Bible? Almost done. Listen to this right here. You say, it's just short, little old nugget. But I'll tell you, them nuggets are pretty good if you get enough of them together, ain't they? Look at this. It says, yet I say they don't toil or spin, them flowers. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Well, that's getting to say it, huh? He called him those people that fret over what they're going to wear and not look at God's divine care and providential care. He says, oh, you have little faith. Huh? You mean tell me you look at all this and you don't think God can take care of you? You remember, Mom, what the Lord spoke to you that day there in my house, and my little girl come walking through the house, and Mom was praying for her, and said, I was in the back room with Kenzie, and Kenzie went by her grandma, and grandma said to the Lord, Lord, what's going to come to this little old girl? Or Lord, and Lord, Holy Ghost, I heard Mama hollering in there, whoa! I said, went in there, and she said, you know what the Lord just said to me? He said, the Lord said to me, He said, don't you think I can take care of a little old girl? I made this whole wide world. You don't think I can take care of this little girl? Mom, I don't know how many years that's been, but brother, He's taken care of her. I said, He's taken care of her. He took care of me. He'll take care of you. Amen. Sometimes the Lord just puts us down, twists our arm up, shakes us all down, and helps us realize that, brother, I wouldn't have these clothes on my back. I wouldn't have the food in my stomach. I feel like shouting a little bit here this morning when I think about a God that clothes the lilies. Amen. And feeds the birds. And He loves me. Hallelujah. I know y'all don't believe this. Just think about it a while. Amen. Go home and think about it. Hallelujah. Amen. And look out the window and behold a blue jay and those beautiful colors. Amen. Behold, amen, the lily in the field and say, hey, I can't go down for going up. Y'all trust God? Oh, hallelujah. That'll take some of it. Now he's getting to a point. I'm closing out here. But he says, Therefore, verse 31, take no thought, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. In parentheses, he said, now if that's all that's on your mind, you ain't no better than the Gentiles. And they're not even my children. And that's all they dwell on. Amen. And you're my child, and you're going to dwell on the same things they dwell on? I want to tell you here this morning, church, and I'm almost done. I'm going to toss this mic away, and we're going to the house. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we ought to live different than the world lives. Hallelujah. We ought to have a calmness. We ought to have a peace. We ought to not be controlled by the dollar sign in Hollywood. Amen. We ought, as Jesus, when he came back to that well, and the disciples said, did you bring the Lord anything to eat? He said, I've got meat that you don't know about. I'm being satisfied with a higher world, a higher plane. I tell you what, the reason we don't dance with the world's parade, amen, we're listening to a different tune, hallelujah. It's got a heavenly sound and a heavenly melody and a heavenly echo, amen, and we're not going to die till God signs the death certificate. We're not going to starve, amen, as long as God owns a cattle on a thousand hill, amen, we don't have to worry about nakedness, as long as God, amen, has all of the heavenly factories, hallelujah. I believe it. I really do. Little as much when God is in it. It's like, and I'm about done. You heard it told over and over and over. Preacher come to the old lady's house and never been to her house. She'd come to church for quite a while, never been to her house. She invited him over to dinner, and he stopped in to visit on her. And she'd always was shouting, always had the victory. And he went up to her little old rickety, broken down house. And didn't realize how poor she was. He'd have never known how poor she was the way she acted and shouted and worshiped. He went in there and they had had peach crates. And had a couple of crates and a little towel thrown over them for the tablecloth. And they set on peach crates. Had a little old crusty piece of bread and another little old dish there. And she said, Pastor, would you turn to thanks and be sure and thank my God. Says, just imagine we got all of this in heaven too. Brother, you say she is a nut. No, she wasn't a nut. She just knew the value of everything she had. She was rich in faith and hope and love. She had more than her share. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. I love to teach our little old kids in here. And you know, we love to dress them up and buy them everything we can afford to buy them. And I guess probably by the time they're 10 years old, they think they're the Queen of Sheba or something. You know, then life just turns in on them. But I'm going to tell you, if we could just teach them, look, even if you don't have these things, God can take what you've got. He can help you survive and clothe you. And it'll be far above even Solomon. Hallelujah. Well, I'm about wore out. Let's stand.